This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Isa alayhi salam makes this statement that's documented here, that's going to be the theme of today's discussion. That he makes this statement, in tu'adhibhum fa innahum ibaduk wa in taghfir lahum fa innaka antal azizul hakim. If you punish them, then they're your servants. And if you forgive them, indeed you are the Almighty, the All-Wise. And the reason why we're highlighting this verse of this statement of Isa alayhi salam, because this is the verse that the Prophet alayhi salam spent all night reciting this verse throughout the night prayer. In tu'adhibhum fa innahum ibaduk. If you punish them, then they're your servants. Wa in taghfir lahum fa innaka antal azizul hakim. If you pardon, you forgive them, indeed you're the mighty, the wise, the all-knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the relationship between Isa alayhi salam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? We find al-fatra baynahuma, the time span between both of these two individuals is sitta to mi'a sana, 600 years. In a hadith in Bukhari, ana awlan nasi bi Isa alayhi salam. I'm the most closest in proximity, whether we take that in its literal meaning or time of its time span, that there's no prophet between Isa alayhi salam and the coming of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. In another hadith in Sunan of Abi Dawood, we find mention, laysa bayni wa bayna Isa nabi wa innahu nazilun. Between myself and the coming of Isa alayhi salam, there's no messenger. Wa innahu nazilun, he's going to return back once again. As we mentioned in the descent of Isa alayhi salam, that he has to return to carry out certain actions on this dunya and to die as a normal prophet. But these prophets, or these two prophets, just like the rest of the prophets, as you find inside the hadith, ummahatum shatta walakin dinuhum wahid, that their mothers are variants, different mothers, they all had these messengers, but what unites them together? Walakin dinuhum wahid, one deen, one religion, one way of life, al-Islam. That's what unites all these messengers. They preach exactly the same thing. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. We sent amongst every single ummah a messenger. And what was the proclamation of every single messenger? أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. Worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay away from anything that's to be that is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever that tawaghit, whatever that taghut may be. Because taghut is ma yu'bud ma dunillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, min dunillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taghut is anything that's worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these messengers, they shared exactly the same message. And Isa alayhi salam, when he highlighted to his people that we find the concept of forbidding them from excessive praise, this is the more closer link between the Prophet alayhi salatu salam and Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam generically said to his people, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O people of the book, La taghlu fi dinikum, wa la taqulu ala Allahi illa al-haq. La taghlu fi dinikum. Don't be excessive inside your religion. Al-ghulu fi din, that we find. What do we take that to the highest level, extremity of excessive praise that we find, what they've done to Isa alayhi salam, that they call him the son of God. And just like even Muslims as well, that you find we become so over passionate about our faith at times. Whereas the Prophet, he warned us to be at ease, to be at rest. Because when a person tries to exert themselves to such a level, they're not going to be able to continue inside their life. They're going to break themselves. That's why we have these outbursts of faith in our society, that people, when they discover Islam or they discover the Sunnah, they have these outbursts of overzealousness, and then it just withers away. And may Allah forbid, some of them, even basic fundamentals of praying five times, they become hard for them, difficult for them. Why? Because they become so worried about this superficial display of Islam that they lose focus about building a solid, concrete devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's possibly not their fault, because we're just full of trying to exert upon people, influence upon people, that this is X, Y, Z, how a good Muslim should be. So everyone thinks that's the benchmark. But that's not the benchmark at times. It's fundamental principles of holding fast and throughout your life and being committed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And specifically, Isa alayhi salam said, Inni Abdullah. He said, I'm the servant of Allah. So that takes away the claim of the Christians, what they attributed to Isa alayhi salam. Inni Abdullah, if you study all of the messengers, Allah gives them this maqam of ubudiyah. That's why there's no ghulu regarding even the Prophet alayhi salam. Because even when Allah subhanahu speaks about the Prophet alayhi salam, he says, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi layla min al-masjid harami ila al-masjid aqsa. Why does Allah say to him, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi? Call him his servant, his abd. That's what ulama said, the highest title for a messenger is to be called the servant of Allah. Nuh alayhi salam, innahu kana abdan shakura. He was a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Isa, he said, in ani'budullah rabbi wa rabbakum. Indeed, my Lord and your Lord is only Allah. Worship him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now look at that in proximity to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. You know, amongst his final words, that's why it's important to study hadith and to understand wurud al-hadith. Just like you have asbab al-nuzul, reason of revelation of certain verses, there's reasons and statements why certain statements were made at a certain time and place. Amongst his final words of the Prophet alayhi salam are, as-salah, as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum. The prayer, and what your right hands possess. Amongst his final words concerns us, la tuturuni. كَمَا أَطْرَتِ النَّسَارَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ. Don't extol and overpraise me like the Christians began to praise the son of Maryam. فَإِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدُهُ فَقُولُوا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. Indeed, I'm his servant. Say the servant of Allah and his messenger. As we mentioned, look at the context of this hadith. It's towards the end of his life. Final days of his life. Why is he making this statement? Because you know the prophecy of the Prophet alayhi salam, he knows certain elements of the future, what people will do about his name, about his identity. So he's making this statement. That's why it's at the end of his life. Don't extol and praise me to such a degree to become overzealous in your love towards me, towards the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. In another hadith in Bukhari that we find Muslim, لَعْنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَاهِمْ مَسَاجِدًا. Towards the end of his life. Why did he make this statement? لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى. Allah has cursed these individuals who've taken the graves of their prophets as shrines and places of worship. Reflect over that closely. Look at the Muslim world today. If he was allowed to make a shrine of any individual, it would be the shrine of the prophets. That's why many of the prophets, their shrines are hidden. The authenticity of whether Ibrahim is inside Palestine at the moment or Musa is in Mount Tur or whatever location is hidden. It's unknown. The only prophet that we definitely know of is the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. That's the only prophet that we know. The rest of them is all hidden. So why did he warn people? Why did he say Allah's cursed these people? If it's allowed, it would have been allowed the Prophet's grave to do that. But kullu man habba wa dabba, any individual, we find these great big shrines built over these people, that they're righteous people. We're not here to question their righteousness. That's not what we're doing. We're not questioning their righteousness. People get offensive. You're questioning whether that person's righteous or a saint or not. That's not our concern. Our concern is the prophetic tradition. That he said Allah has cursed those individuals who take the graves of the prophets as shrines, meaning anything less than that is not allowed. And towards the end of his life, what did he say to Ali? He said, any grave you find over a handspan, desecrate it, dismantle it, demolish it. Any grave over a handspan, you find it, destroy it. Why did he say that? For what? Because he knows that people are going to come, they're going to cluster around the shrines. They're going to make their ibadah around shrines. They're going to base their life around these shrines. And then some of them try to use excuse. No, we don't do that. We just go there for barakah. We go there for blessings. But that's not the truth. Because listen to what the masses of the people, what they do at those graves. They implore, they call, and they ask the dead person, help me, give me a child, rescue me. I'm sick, I'm ill. I have this problem in my life. They physically utter it. So it's not something hidden that people can say, no, they're not really doing that. You can hear their words. They'll say it openly. And they'll say why we've made this journey. لا تشد الرحال. The Prophet says, don't make a journey to any location except for three masajid. So if you happen to pass by a masjid, let it be so. But to go to a masjid, you think there's going to be extra barakah, or this person is buried there, so I'm going to gain some extra blessings. هذا خلاف السنة. That's against the sunnah of the Prophet والسلام, to think that I go to these shrines in these locations. So we find that all these prophets gave exactly the same message. And as we find that, then we find that this statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in تُعَذِّهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكُ, that if you punish them, then they're your servants. And you forgive them, you're the Almighty, the All-Wise. This verse, 118 from Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth chapter of the Quran. Surah Al-Ma'idah contains 120 verses, a Medinan surah. Primarily, it's speaking about ahkam, rules and regulations. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu awfu bil uqood. That's how the surah begins. One of the rare surahs that begins with such instructions. Fulfill your vows, your covenants. Because it's all a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the surah is all full of halal and haram, ahkam, rules and regulations. That's what ulama of ulum al-Quran said, that the final surah in terms of rules and regulations, Surah Al-Ma'idah. And the final surah in terms of revelation of ahkam is verse number 3 from Surah Al-Ma'idah. Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam ad-deena. This day fulfilled my favors upon you and chosen for you Islam as your way of life. Submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama said this is classified as a final verse in terms of ahkam, not in terms of revelation. Because the Prophet lived for 81 days after this verse from Surah Al-Ma'idah was sent down. But the final verse in terms of revelation is وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. From Surah Al-Baqarah verse 281. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Look at how deep the Quran is, even the final verse of Revelation. What does it speak about? وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Fear that day you're going to return back to Allah. And no individual will be pressed on that day. Everyone will be given the due justice will be given on that day. And the main theme of this surah is Ahlul Kitab, people of the book, and Isa alayhi salam, Jesus. Many portions of ayat inside this surah is speaking about Isa alayhi salam. And as we find even prior to that, that Isa alayhi salam, he dissolves himself. He says, oh Allah, I've only carried out the commandments you told me to do. And telling him to worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, Allah mentions, قَالَ اللَّهُ هَذَا يَوْمُ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. That those who are truthful, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give them the due reward to those truthful individuals who believed and obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the reason of revelation or the virtue of this verse, as we began with, as narrated by Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Prophet alayhi salam, on one occasion, he began to recite this verse. حَتَّى يَسْبَحَ أَنْ يَرْقَعْ بِهَا وَيَسْجُدْ بِهَا. That even his prostration and his bowing, he was just repeating this verse. إِنْ تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكْ وَإِنْ تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Imagine all night, تَصَوَّرُوا. Just depict that in your mind, all night, one verse. In standing, in ruku, in sujood. That's what the Prophet ﷺ was doing. So he said, in the morning I asked him that you carried on reciting this verse throughout the night. What was the intent behind this? فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَأَلْتُ رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلَ. I asked my Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, شَفَاعَةُ لِأُمَّتِي. Intercession for my ummah, for my nation. فَأَعْطَانِيهَا وَهِيَ نَائِلَةٌ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted it to me. And it's something which definitely is going to come past. That the shafa'ah, my intercession will be granted to me. But look at the clause. As we began with, لِمَنْ لَا يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. It will be granted whoever associates no partners with Allah. Hadith in the Sunnah of Imam Nasa'i, and it's at the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. That's what many of us, we skip at the clause, because many of us rightfully we jump to shafa'ah of the Prophet alayhi salam. Yes, we should rightfully. But we forget the exceptions, the clauses that he highlighted clearly. It's going to be given to whoever does not associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find that shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or prior to that, other verses inside the Quran, which are similar to the concept of servants of Allah, who may err, who may sin, as long as they repent before they die, They'll be forgiven. For example, in the end of Surah Al-Furqan that we find in the 25th chapter of Quran, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ الْعَرْضِ هَوْنَا. Read the sifat of Allah's describing عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ. Just like here in Surah Al-Ma'idah, that they are your servants. إِن تُعَذِّبُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكُ. Who are these ibad? Who are these servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the description, the mentions are Surah Al-Furqan. These are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who walk on the earth in a state of humility. Then it mentions that they don't commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. They don't commit adultery. They don't fornicate. They don't kill innocent people. And if they did carry out these actions, what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do to these individuals? إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Whoever, even you've done those actions in your life, you've done those actions inside your life, Allah says, except for the one who repents and makes tawbah and turns back to me, and on top of that more so, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Look at the favor of Allah. Allah will change their bad deeds into good deeds. Who can do that? Only Allah. So a person shouldn't despair that I've done this inside my life that Allah won't forgive me. As long as you're breathing and you haven't died, even if you committed shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, you repent. You turn back to Allah, Allah will forgive you, will pardon you. Another similar verse inside the Quran, inside Surah Fatir, they find, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. Then we gave inheritance of the book Al-Kitab, the Quran, to our servants. Look how Allah describes these servants. These servants, فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. You know, some of my servants, what they're going to do? فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Some of them are going to oppress themselves. They're going to sin. They're going to make mistakes. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. And some in the middle, just like many of us. Sometimes good deeds, sometimes bad deeds. Good day, bad day. That's most of us, of human beings. And then there's those who excel. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Those who excel by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is to help us to understand the depiction of servants of Allah. We're not angelic in form. The human being isn't angelic. The human being raises above angels. How do we raise above angels? Because بِقَصْدِنَا وَبِعُقُولِنَا. Via our intent that we purposely decide to submit and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what gives us angelic format. That we go beyond the angels, because angels لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. Angels never disobey Allah. Never ever. So that's how we rise over them, because they have no choice. They've been programmed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive these servants who make that effort to return back to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find that this concern of Isa alayhi salam, that was his concern. That they're your servants. And this was reiterated by the Prophet alayhi salam, that these are, he made this dua supplication, that these are our servants, or these are your servants. And in a hadith inside Sahih Muslim, is collected by Qurtubi inside his tafsir, he said that the Prophet alayhi salam recited another verse. The verse from Surah Ibrahim, another prophet who's also requesting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that to pardon my followers, those who carry out bad actions. With Qal Ibrahim, Rabbi ja'al hadha al-balada amina. Ibrahim alayhi salam made this dua, oh Allah, make this land, the land of Bakkah, the land of Makkah, make it a land aminan, a land of peace. وَمَنْ دَخَلُوا كَانَ آمِنًا. Whoever enters into Haram al-Makki, كَانَ آمِنًا. State of peace, tranquility, rest, sakina, contentment, tranquility. That's what al-Haram al-Makki is. When a person enters inside it, all your worries go away. All the person's worries go away. They enter inside the noble precinct of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he made this, وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Remember the context of this. He's leaving his son Ismail, leaving his wife in the barren land. What does he pray for? وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. May Allah, I implore upon you, make never myself, my progeny, my genealogy, my children, whoever comes after them, ever to worship statues or idols. That's what our worry should be. that our children don't become atheists. Our children don't become shrine worshippers, grave worshippers, reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bowing from the statues, idols, temptations, desires. That's what we should pray, that keep our children away from that. And then he carried on. Rabbi innahunna adanna kathiran minan nas. You know, these people who were idolaters, they've taken many people of mankind away from the path of Allah. فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. Whoever follows me is from amongst me. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. And whoever disobeys me, you're the most merciful, the most kind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find we stay with Ibrahim alayhi salam of warning his people about shirk. That's why some people, as we say, as we keep have to highlight, I'll get very offensive that why are we speaking about tawheed? Why are we so over worried about what people are doing? Because this is the crux, this is the line between Jannah and Nar. And that's why inside Surah Hajj that we find, حُنَفَاءَ لِلَّهِ غَيْرَ مُشْرِكِينَ بِي. They come as monotheists, associating no partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it's mentioned, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. The person who commits shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, is as if that person is dropped from the skies, from the heavens. Or that you find, فَتَخْطَفُ الطَّيْرِ أَوْ تَحْوِ بِهِ رِيحْ فِي مَكَانٍ سَحِيقٍ. And while he's dropping from the heavens, a bird snatches him, or the wind blows him away to a faraway place. What does this parable mean? Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya highlights, أَنَّ الشِّرْكْ لَا يُقَرِّبُكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يُبَاعِدُكَ عَلِ اللَّهِ. Shirk never brings you closer to Allah. It takes you more and more away, further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find Allah mentioned twice inside Surah An-Nisa, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاء. Allah will forgive every single sin except for shirk. الَّذِي مَاتَ عَلَى الشِّرْكِ. Whoever dies upon shirk, Allah will never ever forgive that individual. In Surah An-Nisa, verse 48 and then 116, twice inside the same surah. And he returned back to Surah Al-Ma'idah. The words of Isa alayhi salam is mentioned there. إِنَّوْ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. This is a speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a speech of a people or a certain group, a certain sect, or certain understanding. It's a speech of Allah. Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th chapter, verse number 72 or so. إِنَّوْ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever commits shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dies upon that, then Allah has made it haram for that individual to ever go to Jannah. That's the speech of Allah. Then these people like to make ta'wil and say, no, that was Isa alayhi salam speaking to his people. That's concerning Christians. It doesn't concern us Muslims. So what is left of the Quran? There's a generic principle that majority, if not all ulama of ulum al-Quran, say that the Quran, al-ibra bi'umum al-lafzi la bi-khusus al-sabab. The lesson is to be taken from the generality of the verses and not from the specifics of revelation. So even though it's speaking about Jesus speaking to his people, there's nothing preventing this verse speaking to us Muslims as well. If not, then Surah Al-Masad, Al-Lahab, Surah Quraysh, Surah Al-Fil, it doesn't concern us. How does it concern us? It's speaking about the elephant that came to destroy the Kaaba. It's speaking about Quraysh. It's speaking about Abu Lahab. How does that concern us today then? So majority of the Quran doesn't concern us. That's a wrong understanding of the Quran. The Quran li kulli zaman wa li kulli makan wa li kulli ashkhas. Quran is every place, every time, every people, until Allah lifts the Quran up at the end of time. That's how you approach the Quran. You don't commit shirk and try to hide behind the Quran and say, no, that's speaking about the Christians. And you can see the aqul, their mentality. You know, they celebrate the birthday of Jesus, so we celebrate the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. Deen isn't based upon what they do. They don't believe in Christianity anymore. So why don't you follow the rest of the things that they carry out inside their lives then? They don't believe in it anymore. So that logic, that mantiq, because they do something, we should do it. And as we began with, the Prophet warned us, don't follow these individuals. In another hadith he mentioned, you're going to follow the people of the book. You're going to follow them footstep by footstep. That if one of them was to go into a lizard's hole, you would follow them. Companions were shocked. Qalu man ya Rasulullah. Who are you speaking about? We're going to begin to copy these people. Qala al-Yahud wal-Nasara. Wa fi riwayatin ukhra. Al-Faris. The Persians. So if you study this, we as Muslims are going to begin to imitate, whether it be the Jews, the Christians, the fire worshippers, the people commit adultery. You know, because for some reason we think the grass is greener on the other side. That's what Musa, when he spent years speaking to his people, and when they got to the other end, what did they say? Make us a God like these people have a God that they worship. Musa is banging his head that all these years I've been telling you to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but still, you're still asking the same questions. And that's why this ummah will continuously follow the people of Bani Israel until they don't come out of the shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in tu'adhibhum, that if you punish them, Imam Qurtubi inside his tafsir mentioned in tu'adhibhum hum liman mata minhum ala al-kufr. So if you punish them, those who've died upon disbelief, that is fair to punish these individuals who died in a state of disbelief or in a state of committing shirk with you, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbul Alameen. وَإِنْ تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. He mentions that, and if you've pardoned these individuals, هُمْ لِمَنْ تَابَ مِنْهُمْ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ. And you forgive them, these are for those individuals who repented before death came upon these individuals. Then he mentions, وَلَمْ يَقُلْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. The Quran is deep and accurate. Allah didn't, on this station, didn't say that He's the most merciful, the most kind. فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. You're the mighty, the wise. That if you punish them, it's a justified punishment. And you forgive and you pardon them, for those individuals who repented before or died without committing shirk. أَنْتَ الْحَكِيمُ. You're wise in what you do, actions that you carry out. And that's why the Quran is very unique in the way that it places certain phrases. That's why Imam Sa'di inside his tafsir mentioned, أَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ بِهِمْ. Allah is more merciful than our own selves, min anfusim. وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِأَحْوَالِهِمْ. Allah knows our state and our condition. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's al-latif. The most subtle, the most aware. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Doesn't Allah know what He's created? He's the most subtle, the most aware. And likewise, you find Imam Jazair inside the tafsir, he mentions, that أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ غَالِبْ عَلَى أَمْرِهِ. That you're mighty, ghalib, you're powerful. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To show His power. That if you break the hudud of Allah, you find in the hadith, that you find the hudud of Allah, just like a shepherd who places a fence around his piece of land. And if your sheep, your flock goes out of your pasture, crosses the barriers, goes into the other person's land, anta dhamin, you're responsible for that. And these are hudud of Allah, halal and haram. These are the barriers of Allah. When you cross them, just like the person's sheep has gone into the other person's area, you're now responsible to pay them back. And if you break the laws of Allah, you're responsible to take the punishment of Allah. You're responsible to take that punishment. And that's why you find that some of the companions, they willfully wanted that punishment. Because they wanted to atone themselves. Because they'd rather take that punishment in this dunya than the punishment inside al-akhirah, where it continues upon the person. And as you find, أَنْتَ الْحَكِيمُ أَلَّذِي يَدَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فِي مَوْضِعِهِ. Allah is wise, places every single thing inside His right place and His right location. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith we find, the Prophet alayhi salam, he wept. Allahumma ummati wa baka. He wept in a hadith inside Sahih Muslim. Wept for this ummah. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ لِجِبْرَئِيلِ اِذْحَبْ إِلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Said to Jibreel, go to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, go and ask him. Even though Allah knows why he's weeping, why he's asking. فَقُلْ إِنَّا سَنُرْدِيكَ فِي أُمَّتِكَ وَلَا نَسُوءُكَ. We're going to make you happy about your ummah. And we're not going to afflict you any hardship, anything wrong upon you. That is our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. But he's over questioning, over trying to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's a non-Muslim concept. We need to understand the Creator. We need to understand God. Then we submit to God. That's not what the Quran tells us to do. The Quran begins right in the beginning, when even the angels asked the question, are you going to place a viceroy upon this earth? What's the simple answer Allah gave? قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you don't know. The angels are asking this question, why are you going to create the human beings and place upon this earth? Allah gave a simple response. إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And then after again, Allah mentioned, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. When it was discovered to the angels, showed him, this is why Adam is giving preference over you. The angel said, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. You're the all-knowing, the all-wise. Now we understand, Subhanak. Glorified are you, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inside Surah Al-Baqarah, how many times? Twice Allah mentions, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows and you don't know. That's it. It's a closed book. It's a closed chapter. Don't try to decide. That's why people try to look into destiny. Oh, my destiny is like this. Why is it like this? Why is it like that? Ibn Taymiyyah said, they're opening the doors of your destiny, trying to decipher and try to understand your destiny, leads you towards misguidance, leads you towards not being content with your life, of questioning your life. Why do these people, that's what they're questioning. Why am I in this state? Why did this happen to me? Why am I suffering? And the sad thing is, even among some Muslims, that's what they come and they ask this question. Why am I suffering for? Why am I going through this hardship? The default position is first, you can't understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu ya'lamu antum la ta'lamun. Things happen on the shape, on the face of this earth that we can, many times we can't understand. That's even in the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. What does Allah mention? فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah forgives whomever He wants. And He punishes rightfully whoever He wants. And many times we have to make this statement because so many of us Muslims, we play God on the face of this earth. We like to play God. We like to read and study something and say, right, this person done this, he must be punished. He must be going to the hellfire. He deserves punishment. That's not why you study the source of the Quran. That's not why you approach the Quran. That's not why you read the Quran, decipher the Quran. You don't go around applying the Quran to people around you, especially your loved ones. That's not your approach of the Quran. Application of the Quran is only for ulama, fuqaha, qudha, judges, people in authority. It's not just for any one of us to go pick up a verse and say, right, my father done this, he committed shirk, he must be a mushrik. La. That's not how it works. Because there's a sickness inside our society that we just pick up things black or white and we apply them with the people around us and throw people in paradise and throw people inside the hellfire that we find. Allah mentions at the end of Surah Al-Insan, or even Aziz and Hakim is mentioned 5 times inside Surah Al-Baqarah in various formats and 12 times throughout the Quran. And aside from every single maqam, every single station where Allah mentions that He's Aziz and Hakim, study it in great detail. Why Allah ends the sentence with Aziz and Hakim, you can see why, what the context is, what He's speaking about. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Surah Al-Insan, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا يُدْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فِي رَحْمَتِي وَالظَّالِمِينَ عَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُدْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فِي رَحْمَتِي, enters whomever He wants into His mercy. This is Surah Al-Insan, a surah speaking about mankind. Allah is the one that will judge mankind and bring him or give them a due punishment. And as in conclusion, what we find is over-reliance upon people. That someone will pray for me, someone will fast for me, someone will make dua for me. Even the Prophet ﷺ, yes, we do believe, many times mentioned, we believe in his intercession, but this concept of over-reliance, you can see what many Muslims become. The Prophet ﷺ, he will intercede for me. Just like Jesus died for the sins of mankind, the Prophet ﷺ is the best prophet, so I just have this belief and I'm not worried. He will come and intercede for me. You should be worried. You should be worried. What if you're not selected for the intercession? What if you have not fulfilled the criteria of intercession? What if you have not fulfilled the sunnah He told us to do inside His life? Or the actions He told us to do? That's what we should be worried about. If we try to do that, then we can have some hope that yes, we're going to be close to that shafa'ah. But the generic terms of the Quran is going to be our following discussion. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No soul will carry the burden of another soul. No soul will carry the burden of another soul. No father carries the sin of his son. No son carries the sin of his father. No prophet carries the sin of his people. Just as we began with, that Isa is shaheed ala nas. And likewise, as a witness, just doing their job, doing their task,